This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Well, it's Friday. Hannes, once again, the weekend is almost here. And once again, Paul, it's just you and me. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo. No Andy Hart. That we're complaining.
No Fred Kirsch.
No Fred
Kirsch
either.
Not that we're complaining.
No. Fred's out fighting crime, as you know. It's his new side gig.
No.
He's a crime fighter.
He already took care of Whitey, so
yeah,
he's gonna move on.
Right. So he's got. That's a pretty big catch for you for a first time out.
It was a pretty big catch. Congrats to Freddie.
Yeah.
And his sidekick
and the FBI.
Nikki
Steele. Right.
Jake and Nikki Steele. Cadillac crime fighters.
Once again, too, since we're still in the lockout, no roster moves to speak of, no trades, no cuts. Day 101,
I think.
Something like that.
It all depends
Whatever.
On who you read. I saw someone yesterday refer to it as day 124. Sure that one was wrong.
Nope, not even close.
It's somewhere between like 100 and 105.
Yeah,
somewhere
around
in that
100.
Neighborhood.
We're around 100. So we're going to improvise a little bit on this podcast and talk about
The lockout.
So, and it especially relevant this week because the discussions are happening not too far from here, Paul.
Right in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm. Hull, Mass, the Nantasket Beach Club, I believe, was the location, the not-so-secret location anymore, once reporters found out about
it. Yeah, when the people that are conducting the meetings tell the media where they're going, I really don't understand why those meetings are then deemed
secret. Right.
And they were in Chicago and told everybody they're going to suburban Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they still were deemed to be secret meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But they told you where they were going and that they were happening.
I don't understand it.
They did everything but actually set a little place card for them so they could sit down.
Yeah. Which would have been nice because then we could have known exactly what was going on inside. Instead, we have to get leaked reports, but I guess that's better than nothing.
Optimism continues to be the general feeling on both parts, on all parts.
Deservedly so?
I would say that the fact that they're talking as much as they are, yes, because that we went a long time without the two sides meeting very much. I don't think it's imminent. I think there is. I think the optimism is overstated.
A little irrational?
In the media.
A little irrational exuberance,
I think the optimism has been a little bit overstated in terms of how far along they are. I do think optimism is the word, though. I think that they're working toward a solution, and it sounds now they are going to continue to do so until it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's something that's going to be we're going to snap our fingers and it's going to be all over. I think there's still a lot of work to be done in both Roger Goodell and D. Smith, together for the first time that anybody really could recall, joint statement by those two guys yesterday outside that beach club. Both said the same thing.
Right.
A lot of work to be done. It's a complicated situation, and they're working hard at a resolution.
Didn't one of the reports we read say that this was the first time that in earnest that the rookie wage scale had been discussed between the two sides face to face? So, yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done. I agree with you, and I do still take a little bit of optimism from the fact that they're talking because
the deadline, you have to be optimistic because now it seems like you can't really find too many people now who think the regular season is in jeopardy. You know, as recently as a month ago, there were a lot of national people who thought there was a chance that they weren't going to start the season.
Were people predicting that if they don't get it, you know, November or even, you know, possibly next year.
I mean, that wasn't that long ago that people were predicting that the regular season was in jeopardy. Now, it pretty much universally accepted that the Chris Mortensens, the Adam Schefters, the Peter Kings, all of the national writers of note all seem to be in agreement that it's a matter of when, not if.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've had a day at Nantasket Beach Resort. They went home for the day. Smith and Goodell had their little joint statement afterwards. What's next?
I don't know where that secret location will be. I don't know if they told everybody that yet.
Right, so we don't know.
But they did say they were going to be meeting again next week. So my guess is you're going to get to the middle of July before this is going to get resolved. I still think that the preseason is not a lock to start on time.
No.
And I think training camps are going to get truncated in some way. But I do think that the regular season is right now safe.
I think so.
And I think it's probably safe on time. Interesting thing, D. Smith did have a conference call with the Players Association after the meeting yesterday and didn't express as much optimism as many others have. And a lot of people sort of blew that off as, well, he's posturing, he's trying to temper enthusiasm. I think there's a lot of work to do still, and I think that's why he's saying that. I don't think he wants to portray to the players,
get ready, get your bags.
It's a snap of the finger away here. There's still a lot of work to be done, and I think I read an item on Pro Football Talk. Ben Lieber, linebacker for the Vikings, sort of said he feels like at least a preseason game or two is going to be lost, as many as three. Doesn't think the regular season will get pushed back, however.
So if they have to, they'll just truncate training camp and
So the way that you're listening to the media people talk now, it's over. And I don't think it's over yet. I'm not worried about the season, but I don't think it's over yet. I think there's still a lot of work to be done.
Here's one question. I know you can't answer this, but just I'd like to throw out there. Why do they keep changing the locations of all of these secret meetings? Why can't they just happen in one place?
It's a great question, and I would wonder. See, the Chicago thing made sense to me because, you know, for obvious
it's the middle of the country, right?
You know, seemed like a logical hub. But I wonder if they're moving around a little bit to accommodate
various ownerships.
You know, I know they were in Long Island. Maybe that was something to do with Tannenbaum. Maybe the Redskins and the Ravens had something to do with the Eastern Shore of Maryland. You know, maybe it had something to do with Robert Kraft for the Patriots.
Point.
And right as I say that, I look up and Jonathan Kraft was on TV on ESPN. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, why they keep
moving
around.
That's as reasonable a conclusion as any.
I don't know. Maybe because they want to increase their carbon footprint.
I don't think that's the reason. Probably not.
We could probably rule that one out.
Okay. Well, I just that just crossed my mind when I was reading all these stories and how they're bouncing around all over the place.
It's a good question. I don't know if it has any validity. My guess would be that it's accommodating individual owners. You know, the ones that are, the Maras, the Rooneys,
the ones in the executive committees.
The ones that have been at all of these meetings.
Makes sense. All right. Well, next week we'll be back probably with another podcast, trying to maybe wrap up another week's developments.
I make no promises, Eric.
We don't promise, but you know the way things have been going, it looks like there's substance to talk about. So, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Hey, this is Doug Flutie. I may still be giving my retirement press conference, but download the podcast now.